Hello, hello. Welcome back to There's No Island Podcast, a podcast by the people, for the people. And today, I'm your solo host, Morgan, middle name redacted Robinson. If you enjoy, or even if you don't, join the movement by subscribing to There's No Island Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or by following us on Instagram at Noel Experience. First of all, I want to take a second to thank you guys for listening each and every episode, as we have recently hit 1,500 podcast downloads in total, which does not include our YouTube channel. And if you didn't know, we are also uploading visual episodes to our channel at Noel Experience, which has 300 separate views. Now, as you may have noticed from the intro, this episode is going to be slightly different, as I will be going solo without my usual co-host Matthew Noel. Now, I know, don't get too excited, guys. He'll be back next week. But I do have something a little bit better for you today. I'm going to be interviewing a local athlete who went from doing absolutely nothing, and I mean nothing, to a triathlon in 12 weeks. Welcome to the podcast, Matthew Noel.
Woo, yeah! thanks for having me. I've been watching you guys for a while. Great to be here.
Since our audience doesn't know you, Matthew Noel, tell us a little bit about yourself.
If you want to check me out, you could check me on There's Noel in Podcast, episodes 1 to 12.
Stop plugging yourself. You get that at the end. I'll be running the show.
Sorry, my
bad. Matthew will be answering questions.
Okay.
He needs to learn his place.
Tell me about myself. Well, as Morgan said,
Tinder really profile goes 6'4".
Brunette. 6'4". Like, it's long walks on the beach. And I don't know what other things is on there. I guess, an average guy. I never really... I did play sports growing up. I never was into anything to do with running or swimming or even really riding. Like, obviously, I had a bike as a kid and I would ride around the neighborhood and mess around, jump over sidewalks and stuff. But I never really had any, you know, formal training or running. I used to do sports day at school, but that's about it. So that's kind of me.
Okay. So how did you end up getting into running then? Because for people who don't exactly know you, you also have a bit of an overheating issue.
Yeah, so I think very few people would know that. I don't know what it is. I've been to have that looked at for a while, and apparently it's just dehydration, but I don't know. But basically, for the last, I don't know, maybe like 10 years.
As long as I've known you, more or less.
Yeah, it's just every time I would do some sort of exercise, whether it's something easy, like playing spike ball in the park in Toronto, this was like last year, or if it was I don't know, spending the whole day in the sun at the beach, or if it was when I was younger, I used to race go-karts, if it was racing go-karts, or once I went to Oasis and was playing around with the football and I ran for less than 3 minutes and I got home, and what happens is I overheat and I end up, you know, vomiting my life away, and as soon as I wake up in the morning, I'm fine. So
charming.
Yeah, TMI, but I didn't know if that was gonna happen. In my training, was taking it easy.
How'd you go from that to like getting into running, and more importantly, like triathlon? For people who don't know what triathlon is, if you don't, well, I don't know how to help you, but Matt, help them.
A triathlon is basically so it's three sports. It's a swim followed by a ride followed by a run. It's all done the ride is on the road. It's not like mountain bikes, it's proper road bikes, and then the run as well and the swim. Obviously here in Barbados is done in the sea. But how did I get into that? A lot of it, I guess, comes from my dad. He does triathlons. He started at basically nothing. I think his first thing, he like ran down the hill or something, 200 meters, and turned around and walked home, and that was his first ever piece of exercise in his, I guess, adult years, and that was like 10 years ago. And he just went from there and just continued with it over the years, and he went from doing that to a 3K, to a 5K, to a 10K, to a half marathon, to a marathon, to a half, a triathlon, then a half Ironman. For those of you that don't know, that's madness, and like, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's probably less than 1% of people in the world. It's probably, I don't know, 0.5% or something ridiculous like that. Very few people in the world do that. And then it went on from there, and he did an Ironman. And actually, it was the Ironman that made me say, well, if my dad could do it, an entire Ironman, which, by the way, is 4 kilometers swim, 180 kilometer ride followed by a marathon. It took him like 15 and a half hours or something absolutely outrageous like that. We were all very proud of him. So that's basically how I got into it, just by watching him. And I started this year, and I said I was going to try and do a triathlon this year. Usually I don't make New Year's resolutions. I've made two in my life. One was to graduate. For those that know me, that was a tough one to get through. And then one was this triathlon. So that's how I got into it, really.
Sweet. So pretty obvious to say that your dad was your inspiration for the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, he was.
To be fair to him, I do remember the training for that and like the whole journey. I don't stay awake for 15 hours on a day, let alone running.
Exactly. Like swimming. Just imagine doing your favorite thing in the world. It's hard to do that for 15 and a half hours straight. Mm-hmm. Even if sleeping for 15 and a half hours straight is hard.
So must imagine, be nice.
Like, oh man. But yeah, he was the inspiration. But also, I pull inspiration a lot from within. I'm pretty good with that. But also from the people around me. So like, some of my friends, when they saw me started training, although they may not think they've done much, but just the fact that they're asking me how it's going or saying, I would like to come and watch or something like that. I take inspiration from that as well. So
when do you start training and then decide, all right, you know what, I'm going to get this triathlon done? What was your...
As you said, New Year's resolution, but I didn't start until end of August.
Okay.
So I had basically a 12-week plan to go from nothing to doing this sprint triathlon. And it was, at first I looked at the plan and I was like, this ain't gonna happen. And even at the beginning of the year, although I said, yeah, I want to do a triathlon, I was like not sure if I actually would be able to get it done. Like, I always knew once I set my mind to something, I usually can complete it. So I always knew eventually it would get done, but I didn't know if it was going to happen this year, mm-hmm. especially with COVID and everything going on. And Morgan and I actually last year, December, we did run Barbados, and we decided maybe like 2 or 3 weeks before we were going to do the 5K, and we just kind of picked up and did it. And Morgan was have a lot more fit than me because he was playing football at the time, and I ran 32 minute 5K, which is pretty slow in the scheme of things if you don't know, but I had done it. After that, I kind of said, okay, well, I know I can now do a 5K. I'll add the triathlon onto that and see how that goes. So in August I started swimming. The triathlon distance is 750 meters, and my mm-hmm. first swim I think was 250 or 350 meters.
It doesn't sound a lot, but swimming is pretty difficult.
Yeah, like, so that is...
It's definitely not equivalent to like running a K.
No,
like a
K, no.
I mean,
I would say swimming, especially for those people that don't know how to swim properly. Like when I was younger, I did swimming lessons, and I'm talking like until I was 8 or maybe 10. So I was never on a team or anything like that. So swimming, it was pretty tough. And then obviously as you increase the distance, mm-hmm. like if you think about it, on a run, you can stop and walk. On a swim, I guess you can stop and tread water, but you're still treading water. And the breathing was hard to get used to too, because obviously you're face down in the water and you have to turn your head and breathe every couple of strokes. And mm-hmm. it's a bit hard to get into, but once you kind of get in your stride, it usually is.
All right, well, let's get more in depth per se, instead of talking about the general, which is fine. But like, tell me a little bit about the training schedule. How do you schedule week by week,
right,
going from nothing to this triathlon, right? Because it's not something as simple as like, all right, if you know you're running a 5K, you're just going to run, like start running and increase that incrementally, right?
Yeah.
How do you go about pulling it all together, knitting it together into this great big plan?
Right. Well, fortunately for me, as I said, I had my dad. He also did it and has had previous times doing it, so he had an idea of what was going on, and he had his own training plan, and I kind of adapted to that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The first couple of weeks I took it pretty cautious, because as I said earlier about the overheating thing, I really didn't want that to happen, and I wanted to kind of work up to it. So I knew the distances, and by the end I knew that I had to be able to do those distances and not just do them but do them one after the next. So I would start, and the first couple of weeks I was training 4 days a week. I would just go after work, come home, or go straight to the beach, and I would swim a little bit, come back home. And the next day I would run, come back home. Then I would take a day off and then go from there. So the distances.
So what were the intervals then? Sorry. Like, were you running every Monday, Tuesday, then biking was Wednesday, then right. swimming so, Thursday? How'd you work that?
So it was good to get into a routine. And I started with, it was a bit helter-skelter. As many things with a routine, is once you get into it, you're good. But getting into it to begin with is a bit difficult. And then getting used to, you know, the whole thing as well. So my dad and I were sharing a bike in training. So on the days that he would bike, I would run. On the days that he would run, I would bike. Mm-hmm. And then we would go swimming together. So usually how it would go is Mondays would be, we would go swimming. Tuesdays he would ride and I would run. Wednesdays I would ride and he would run. Thursdays he would ride, I would run. Mm-hmm. Fridays was usually day off. Saturday mornings we would go get up early and go swimming in the morning. And then Sunday mornings we'd go for a long ride together. On Sunday mornings he would use his racing bike, but he didn't want to train on that too hard.
And then slightly not a tough question, but you might not be able to average it. How much hours do you think you actually put into the training in total over that 12 weeks?
I guess I could do a rough calculation now and get my calculator. So I would say about...
If you've listened to our episodes religiously, you know you don't want Matt to do any math in his head.
Got my calculator here. So I would say I would do ranging between 45 minutes a day, 6 days a week, and an hour and a half a day, 6 days a week. So if you call that an hour, mm-hmm. so that's 6 hours a week by 12, 72 hours. So
you think ball game kind of like 72 hours?
It might be closer to maybe 85 or 90 hours.
Regardless, right? What I'm trying to get at is that's a lot of time. How did you keep training interesting? Did you have any podcasts?
Actually, believe it or not, obviously we've gotten into podcasts in recent times, and I would sometimes edit our podcast together and I would listen to it while we write as the final listen before I would send it out. But also I had other podcasts I listened to. If anyone's interested.
Matt's a big Caller Daddy fan.
I have seen some of those, you know. But I listen to various ones. If someone wants, they can message me. I'll tell them what I listen to. But some of them are about like people building their business, or some of them are more goofy ones. It's just two people that I follow that talk shit, and they're quite funny. So it would depend. Also, sometimes it was nice. My neighbor Brent, he runs too. So I was running with him in the beginning before I started to really ramp up the training. And then swimming, although you can't like stop and talk, I would swim with my dad. So it was like the motivation was there to do that. The swimming is tough though, because... Well, for all of them, you're in your head. But if you imagine on your bike, you have to pay attention. There's cars passing, and there's, you know, there's fields to look at and stuff. Swimming, you're just staring at the sand for half an hour and just remembering to breathe. So that one's a bit more boring.
That was probably the most interesting thing about the triathlon. For people who know Matt gets seasick anything. And Matt is the first person I've ever heard in my life who has gotten seasick from swimming.
I'm laughing just because swimming. I'm laughing in pity of myself, because even as I went for a swim this morning. We're doing a swim, my dad and I, in December. But that's another story. I got here, Morgan and was outside, and I said, man, I feel so seasick. And even right now, I'm feeling pretty green. I don't know what it is about me. I'm like terribly motion sick. It doesn't matter what.
Just a weird fella in general.
Yeah. Right.
So tell us about the day of the race itself and like run me through. What time you had to wake up, how well, the race itself went, who had to carry you home on a stretcher.
First thing was we had a briefing meeting the day before, which itself took like 2 hours, which was so long. But basically, we had to get up at 4:30. We left home at 5. We had to be at the down by Paradise Beach at 5:30 to check in. And with this one, this triathlon, obviously it's COVID is prevalent right now. So they had a bunch of COVID protocols. You weren't allowed to go close to this place, or you had to go here first and get checked and this and that. But basically, you would go there, you would wait for your wave. They called it in waves. You had to go and set up your transition points, where you would obviously come out the water and change into your cycling clothes to go cycling, and then change back into your running clothes or whatever. So we'd set that up, and then when it actually came time to the race, I was surprisingly not very nervous because I was confident with my training, and my original goal was to finish this triathlon, and I had no doubt that I was going to do that. I was also working towards a secondary goal of getting there in a certain time frame, which I guess at the end we could talk about. So basically, I wasn't nervous at the line. We lined up in waves, and it had like the juniors would go first, and then wave 1, 2, 3, whatever. And they once they started going, it was us. We lined up on the line, and then we were the last wave, and we went. And then, yeah, we went for the swim. You had to swim out into the sea around like in this diamond formation and come back in. But if you can imagine, it's like 5:30, so the sun is now peaking up, the water is freezing. The first thing you jump in is like, geez, and you kind of surprise yourself, and then you just get into a rhythm. So I did the swim, I got out the swim, ran up the beach to the transition. It's nice to have people around, and even people you don't know, they're like, oh, you know, come on, let's go, give you motivation. So that was pretty cool. It had pissed with rain right before we started, so the road, Spring Garden, was really, really wet and slippery. So we got on the bike, and I was being pretty cautious, and I started up, and I came out the water just in front of my dad, and in transition I was pretty slow. I don't have all the proper triathlete equipment, so I was pretty slow. I got on the bike, and going up the first hill, my dad whizzed past me, and in a way that was kind of a good thing, because every time I would go up the hill, he would be coming down. And every time he passed me, he would be motivating me. Come on, Matt, you got this, whatever. Which, obviously, thank him for. I would have been okay. But it's nice to have people shouting at you. And then there's other people that run as well. Or there was a relay going on. So people were shouting back and forth. And I was trying to do the same thing just to encourage people. So then on the ride, it was relatively okay. But I was going slowly because a lot of people were falling down, especially when you had to go up to the end and turn around. Right down at the bottom of Spring Garden, that road was so wet, and you had to do a 180 degree turn, and lots of people were falling down there, and I felt bad for quite a few of them. So I was taking it extra slowly, and then you would have to ride up Spring Garden Hill, and every time you did that hill, it was like, oh, you count backwards from five, because there was five laps, five, all right, four more, three more, two more. So you got off the bike, and between getting off the bike and starting to run, some of my friends actually came, and it was nice to have them there, and my mom as well, and they were encouraging me, so that was nice. I really appreciated them coming.
Quick shout out. Yeah, quick want to shout out on my show.
Quick shout out to Jason, Amy, Luke, Jess, Lily, and my mom. I think that was everybody.
If you missed out somebody, you know they're not showing up next time.
Yeah, I know. I apologize.
So how did you feel like actually finishing the race? What was that feeling like?
It was kind of like passed in a moment, and I tried to, coming down the home stretch, I tried to like take it in, but I was so tired by the time I had finished that, and by the time I started running, my pace was way faster than it should have been. So by the time I was finishing the run, I was dying. I did manage to pass my dad coming up the home stretch, which was good. And I say it's good, but truthfully, he's 30 years older than me. So I should be beating him by a lot. But anyway, he's a seasoned triathlete. So
he's an Ironman.
Yeah, he's
you were playing COD on your couch 12 weeks ago.
It's true.
We'll give you some slack. Have you found, now that you've done that and you're still exercising regularly, obviously, has there been a difference in your general life? I don't mean like physically more. Obviously, you have a routine of sort, and that helps in different things.
There has. It's a bit weird, but just the regimen or the routine of training, it was nice to have that, and it kind of gave you motivation. So first thing, you felt good because you were physically exercising.
Yeah, you're getting that release of endorphins, et cetera.
Yeah, and then you know, if you had trouble sleeping, by the time I got home, I was knocked out anyway. So I was sleeping, going to sleep early, and I was getting up early to train and stuff. Also, with the triathlon, I decided, completely my choice, to stop drinking. So period, I didn't have anything to drink the entire time, with the exception of the week before the wedding.
I heard you were pretty drunk at the wedding. So
the week before the triathlon, I had a shot or two at the wedding. But other than that, my friends, some of them understood, some of them didn't, but whatever. I'm not really someone that takes that on board. Mm. So that was interesting, to not having a drink in, I think it was like 4 months. That was actually quite refreshing as well, not having to worry about getting up the next morning and feeling rough or anything like that. So that was nice too. But yeah, overall, I felt motivated.
And you touched briefly on one of them, but like, have you seen any changes from there? So yeah, you said you started drinking, but...
Yeah, well, because I went from nothing to training, I lost a fair amount of weight. I think I probably lost like maybe 15 pounds.
That's a lot.
I guess because it's my body, I could see physically a little bit. But nothing really major. I guess to have a major physical change, I would have to start going in the gym and stuff. But I'm not really super interested in...
Yeah, but not only that, what about the overheating issue?
Yeah, well, that's a good one too, actually. I didn't really even think about that. But throughout the entire training, throughout the triathlon itself, I was very hot on the day. And I seemed to be okay. So, I'm happy with that. And hopefully going forward, it stays like that. But I don't know.
That must be a good feeling on its own, on top of the fact that you've gone from nothing to completing this pretty big, objective, you know?
Yeah, I was happy with that. And also, I was kind of recording myself along the way. So I don't know if I'll release that video. I might put it together, but I don't know if I'll release it. I guess if people want to watch it, they can send me a message or send a message to Noelle Experience Instagram, mm-hmm. and I'll see if I can get it on there.
Jumping back slightly, do you find that... between during this process and then obviously reaching the destination, that your confidence is up as well?
Yeah.
Or
I it sounds strange, but yeah, not like in different areas of my life, I would say for the most part the type of person I am in life is pretty laid back, but I guess because of this, I wouldn't say like fully confident, but like, you know, I would feel better to go and do certain things or whatever. So it definitely has helped with that as well. Yeah.
Okay, well, what's the next step for a couch potato turned confident superstar?
Right, okay. Let's not get carried away. I have the swim in December. It's just, I don't know exactly. I think it's like maybe a charity swim or something. It's across Carlisle Bay from Hilton to the Harbour Wall. And then other than that, I think I'll probably spend the next month or two and get a goal. Because after this now, I want to do one more, not necessarily triathlon, but maybe. But the next one would be do it in a certain time frame, mm-hmm. or whatever. Like, I think this triathlon, I ended up doing an hour, 31 minutes. And my very minimum thing that I thought I could make is an hour, 30. So I was pretty happy with that. And then I came 22nd out of 39 when I thought I was going to be 38 or 39. So mm-hmm. I was happy with that as well.
What about any business aspirations then? Do you have any side hustles? Which brings me into my next segment. We were starting to think of things that we can do. And one of them was we want to start interviewing.
Well, we haven't quite worked out the kinks. It's still kind of a in between idea, but we're thinking that we'll keep this podcast as for us, and we kind of just talk about random
whatever we
stuff,
want to on this,
yeah, and then we'll take a more serious approach and we'll try and get interviews with interesting people that we think you guys might want to listen to, like maybe athletes, not like me, but athletes or business owners or people with side hustles or anything to do with that we think is interesting, and we think that our audience will think is interesting as well.
Yeah. So we kind of use this episode as almost to dip our toes in the water per se.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
To excite anybody.
Exactly.
Or even if you want to be on the episode itself, you know?
Yeah, true. Or you have a friend that you think will be interesting, just let us know. Maybe we can put a poll up on Instagram to see if people would want to see an episode like that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we can go from there.
On to our sponsor. Can you guess what it is? Have you listened to the other episodes?
Is it Eco Gardens?
No, Matt, come on. We have some variety. We are proud to announce that episode 13 of There's No Ellen podcast is sponsored by Eco Gardens.
Whoa.
Eco Gardens is a local project which is looking to help facilitate food security in Barbados by providing you with the chance to start growing your very own vegetable produce in your own backyard. They provide a package deal which includes their raised garden bed and 8 vegetable plants that have already been growing for a couple of weeks, which means you just have to add water. Check out their Instagram at ecogardens.bb if you're interested and to learn more about becoming slightly more eco-friendly.
Whoop, whoop.
You can't join that part. You're about to guest, remember?
Whoop, whoop.
All right, guys. That brings this episode to a close. I hope you enjoyed a slightly different style with a side hustle, per se. I would like to thank my guest for taking his time to join us today, and I will see you back on the next episode as my co-host.
No problem.
You can find us at Noel Experience on Instagram and Facebook. There is Noel in Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. And you can't find Matthew Noel anywhere.
You can find me on Instagram at MatthewN11. And what about you, Marks?
Morgan_AER, I think. AER. People always ask me why it's AER, you know. But that's why my middle names are redacted.
True. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll check you next time.
Hold on. Guests don't out.
Peace.